He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and the Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a father, and he would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I trusted him, and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. My soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. He's more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. I stand amazed to think that the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who he is and who I am, for he's more wonderful than my mind conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed. Everything he's promised, and so much more. He's more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. He's more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful, more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is.
to me.
Have a wonderful God, don't we? It's amazing. Luke chapter 15 in your Bibles, please. Luke chapter number 15. When you find that, as you're able, if you would please stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. If you're not able, you may remain seated, of course. Luke chapter number 15, and we'll begin reading in verse number 11. Luke chapter 15, and starting in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have enough bread and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Let's pray. God, thank you for being such an amazing God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus Christ dying to pay for our sins and offering a home called heaven. Thank you for being our heavenly Father. God, I pray you bless this message this morning. Be with our pastors as he preaches. Fill him with your power. Help us, Lord, to listen and respond to the preaching from the Word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Be seated, please. Please turn your cell phone off. Check that right now. We believe what the Bible teaches about the eternal security of the believer, that once you are saved, you are always saved. But if your phone goes off in the service, that doctrine will not work, and you will be lost eternally forever. No. Just turn your cell phone off, would you please? The prodigal son. It's one of three parables that Jesus taught in this chapter. He taught the parable of the shepherd with one lost sheep. He taught the parable of the woman with one lost coin. And then he teaches here the parable of a father with one lost son. You realize this parable Jesus teaches here, we call the parable of the prodigal son, is really, in its purest form, it's a parable about a family. It's a parable about a person in life who makes certain decisions and choices, and then we get to see the consequences of it. Well, it didn't really happen, Pastor Johnson. Haven't you known some prodigals in your life who made choices, made decisions? Well, see, then we're the prodigal son in a very real sense. What's amazing about Jesus' parables, he taught 51 parables. What's amazing about his parables is they can be taken and turned and applied in so many different ways. This parable of the son who comes to the younger, there's a man with two sons. The younger son comes to him and says, Dad, I want what is coming to me. He's not just asking for a paycheck, he's asking for his inheritance. And the Bible says the father divided unto them. He gave the older son his inheritance at that moment also. But the older son stayed home. The younger son took off to the far country. And in the far country, he runs into some problems. But not initially. Hey, initially, his life is good. He's got his inheritance. The Bible says he spends it on riotous living. We know what that means. While he is doing that, a famine is coming up in the land. And as the famine is coming up in the land, his bank account is dwindling. And just about the time he's broke, the famine is in full force. Now listen, famines do not just take place overnight. 1 week there's prosperity and crops in the field. The next week there's starvation and animals with bloated carcasses. It took years. So this young man had years of the way he wanted things. And about the time he spends it all and it's gone, not only is it just money is gone, he is flat broke. So he goes to a local farmer and the farmer says, take care of my pigs. Now, as a Jewish background, for Jesus' background and those who were hearing him, the idea of them even being near a pig was bad enough, but to live with them. And as it said in that parable, you saw that he's eating their food. And as we have mentioned before, he tries to make it work. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He's trying to make his choices turn out the way, at least the very best that he can. And after a bit, what happens? The Bible says in verse 17, he comes to himself. He wakes up, sees things the way he should. And what does he do? He said, I will arise and go to my father. Why? Because look in your Luke 15 passage again, please, if you would. Would you notice very carefully while he's in the pig pen eating pig food, verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Look at the last statement in verse 16. And no man gave unto him. Where were all his party buddies? Where are all those good time friends that you can buy? You know where they are? They're nowhere because you ain't got anything to buy them with. And all of that comes together for this man in a moment, and then he realizes, you know what? I need to wake up. And he comes to himself and says, I will arise and go to my father. His servants have it better than this, and I'm starving to death. Wait a minute, look at me. And he doesn't just say that, and then a year later passes, and two more years go by. The Bible says he immediately gets up out of that pig pen and he starts heading for home. Look here. He left with everything. He's coming back with nothing. That's the world, ladies and gentlemen. That's the life of sin. That's the life of our choices when we leave God out. You'll have a bunch when you start. And you'll have nothing when it's over. And the Bible says when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Ran to this young man, fell on his neck and kissed his neck. And the boy was ready to do business with his father. I've sinned against you. I'm not even worthy to be a servant. And the father stops him and says, that's enough. Servants, go get the robe, get the ring, get some shoes on those feet. My son was dead. He's alive. He's lost and he has found. And they began to be merry. It's a sad story that has a good ending to it. Now, today, there's nothing deep about the message this morning because I'm a shallow person. We all make bad decisions, don't we? Okay, for the three of you who are honest, the rest of you, I said we all make bad decisions, don't we? Yes, we do. And sometimes we make bad choices. And sometimes those wrong decisions and bad choices, sometimes they have pretty lasting impact in our lives. And if we take the prodigal son in this account and we follow it, but we look at me, and we leave him in the pig pen, that's where a lot of people wind up with their choices and their decisions. They get to the hog pen, and that's it. They just live in the hog pen. They keep rearranging the hog pen. They keep trying to make the hog pen better. They keep trying to adjust what they're doing. They get those husks that the swine did eat, but they figure, you know, a little pesto, some garlic salt, maybe this will work out better if I try it like this. Or maybe they turn to the owner and goes, it's organic. I mean, they're really concerned. They're just trying to make life go the way it is. This young man made bad choices, wrong decisions, but he came to himself and arose and went to his father, and it's a happy ending. I love happy endings. You people who like books or old movies where everybody dies at the end of it, I don't understand what that's all about. I want the happy ending. The bad guy gets shot. The good guy rides a horse and throws a girl on the back and they take off, whatever it is. Yeah, no, I'm talking about, I like the happy ending thing. That works out good. So how do we do that? How do we take wrong choices, bad decisions? How do we take that and turn it around where God can do something with it? Okay, first of all, look at me. Before we get to the good part, let's talk about the difficult part. How did he make these wrong decisions? Well, what did he do? He knows he has an inheritance coming, so he goes to his father and says, give me my inheritance. He is basically, look at the passage again, please. He says, and the younger, verse 12, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. That's an inheritance. And he, the father, divided unto them his living. Look at me. He doesn't value what he has. We make wrong decisions and choices because we don't value what we have. Esau did that. Remember Esau and Jacob in the Bible, twin brothers. Esau's the hunter. Jacob's the little guy who likes to cook around the house. Those two guys, you know what I'm talking about? And one day Esau comes back from hunting and he is so hungry. And Jacob's cooking soup and he says, give me some soup. And he says, sell me your birthright. This wasn't just, you know, a piece of paper. This was leadership and double blessing and double inheritance. I mean, Esau, this is big stuff for this man. And he thinks, you know what? I'm so hungry, I'm going to die. You ever been there, fellas? You ever been there where you thought, if I don't get a chicken leg, I'm going to kick the bucket right about now? Well, that's the way Esau is. He's just, and for a bowl of soup, he sells his birthright. You know, the Bible says later on, he sought it again. He tried to get it back, and he couldn't. Jacob wouldn't let him have it because he didn't value. And then it says of Esau at the end of that passage where he sells his birthright for a bowl of soup, it says, Esau despised his birthright. Despised didn't mean he hated it. Despised meant he didn't value it. He thought, yeah, so what? You know what? That's someday way down the road. My dad's going to live to be 150 anyway, so who cares? I'm going to take it. Give me the soup. That's what this young man does here. Look at me. He doesn't value the inheritance he's about to receive, that one day he will get something of great value. Look at me. If he'll just wait and not go down the road too far, if he'll just value what he is given. And by the way, that inheritance would have increased over time if he would have just waited. When that father divided to him the living, he said, okay, this is what you would get if I dropped dead right now. And he handed him the check, boom, and he walks off. He doesn't even realize if he'd have just waited, just given it more time, but that inheritance would have increased. He would have had even more, but he doesn't see it. And he doesn't realize how safe and careful and right it is for him to be in the house of his father. Maybe he was one of those young people, not like most young people, one of those young people who says, well, I'm tired of people telling me how to live and what to do and where to go and how to live my life and that kind of stuff. Like that kid when we're in one of our old buildings, there's a 15, 16-year-old comes to me and he said, you know, I'm sick and tired of my parents telling me how to live my life. I'm going to join the Marine Corps. And I said, well, son, I said, you know what? Yeah, go ahead. You need to go do that. He came home with his number one haircut, and he was squared away, gyrene, buddy. And I just looked at him, and he just looked at me and shook his head. Yeah, I know. I said, yeah, figure it out, Spanky. Yeah, buddy. Hey, he was, this young man, he does not realize what he has. He said, well, Pastor Johnson, I have no inheritance. I'm not getting, no, you're not picking up the point here. With the father, in the father's house, under the father's care. You know who the father is in the prodigal son parable? It's God, the heavenly father. Do you realize he has good things for us now? Okay, for the two of you who found that out, for the rest of you, let me give you some news. He has good things for us now. Blessings, oh my goodness. God's goodness in our lives day by day. Yeah, there's stuff that goes on, but it's good. But wait a minute now. Down the road, my friend, it gets even better as you go along. God is even greater in his goodness and his blessings and how he helps us and encourages us. Oh, wait a minute now. Don't sell out for a moment. Don't do it now. Don't jump the gun. Don't say, well, I want to have it now. I want to live for what I want now. I want to do what I want now with my life now. And God's will's progressive and he's trying to reveal it to you as you go along. Give him time. Give him time. God will come through and the goodness and the blessings of God will come. And guess what? And when it's all over and said and done, if you're a child of God, if you're a born again, blood washed child of God, when you die, then you get to go to heaven. I'd say that's pretty good options. I say that's a whole lot better option than Obamacare. I said it's good, ladies and gentlemen. God, listen to me carefully. This young man does not value all he can see is what's right in front of him. Man, give me that stub now. We know he has got an agenda, but we'll get there in a second. But we make wrong decisions because we don't value the goodness of God in our lives. We don't value what it means to, hey, do right, live right, all that kind of stuff that a good Christian is supposed to do. We don't value that. We take a salvation that cost us nothing, purchased for us by the precious blood of Christ, that we receive so simply by faith in Christ alone. That's the only way you get saved, by trusting Christ alone. And then what do? We neglect, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 2, we neglect so great salvation. He won't take it away from you. It just won't mean anything to you. Hey, here's what has happened. Look at me. Some preacher will come up to you one day and ask you, are you a child of God? Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I've been saved. But their life has nothing to do with their salvation. They've gotten so far from God. You know why? They've just taken for granted the fact that you are a born-again child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You don't have to live up to salvation to have it. It's a gift. It's a gift to get it. It's a gift to keep it. It's a gift. He keeps you. You don't keep him. But wait a minute. So now I have my fire insurance. I'm just going to cut my own path, do my own thing. We're going to start making wrong decisions from that point. He didn't value what he had. We will always make wrong choices and decisions when we don't value what our Heavenly Father has given us. We'll trade the permanent for the temporary. We'll trade the future on the altar of the present. Huge mistake. You know how you make wrong decisions like this guy? He didn't look ahead. Verse number 13. You say, well, Pastor, he couldn't have seen that as many days, verse 13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. But he said he wouldn't know verse 14 was coming. He should have thought about it. No, he was too busy cutting the path, and he doesn't understand that he doesn't look ahead. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, don't get vision to think we're supposed to start seeing aberrations and stuff on the wall and having dreams where things happen to us. Vision in the Bible means this. Proverbs 29:18, it means this: to see things the way God wants you to see them. Like when Jesus told the disciples, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for truly they are white unto harvest. All those men could see. He just wanted them to see it the way he wanted them to see it. You know, we don't know the future. We do know the one who does. I said we do know the one who does. And he can help us, ladies and gentlemen, have enough sense to say, I can't see how this is going to turn out. So what I better do is just do right now and let God work out the consequences. This kid's too busy spending his inheritance, having a good time and spending life, instead of getting prepared for the fact that someday he may not have the inheritance, that someday things get complicated. Wrong decisions are a result of lack of vision. And so then a famine comes and he winds up in a pig pen eating pig food. I told you, I've slopped hogs before. Never saw anything in that bucket that ever looked good to me. My aunt would go out into the barnyard, and they had probably 40, 50 chickens, and she would go out in the morning with her apron pulled up, and she'd have feed in there, and she'd take and throw it out like this, and boy, those chickens would come out of the hen house and gather all around her and pecking away and everything else, and she's feeding those chickens, and they're all around her, and then she'd go out there at night, and she'd have an empty apron, and she'd pick it up. And she looked down like this. She reached down and grabbed two chickens. Pow! And just popped their heads off. Almost always popped their heads off. It was a crack up to us to watch them hit the ground and run around in circles for a minute with the blood squirting out. And then they'd fall over. Occasionally, it would just break their neck. It's dead, basically. They had a little stump over there with a little hand axe. And she'd take it over there by the feet and flop it on there and pop his head off. Are you getting hungry? She had a big number one wash tub full of hot water, and she scalded that chicken, pluck his feathers, rip his guts out, cut them feet off. I understand people eat chicken feet. Never saw anything about chicken feet that looked tasty to me. All of that would be thrown in that slop bucket, all of it, guts, head, feathers, feet, leftover stuff from lunch, which in our house, there wasn't much left over. I was there. I take that bucket down there and throw it in the hog pen. I never thought, wait a minute. I should have got them feathers right there. This kid, he's in the hog pen, and he's not looking ahead to what he needs to do. But then in verse number 17, the Bible says he came to himself. You know what he did? You know what started to change this for this kid? He saw where he was. Can you see that? Can you look at your life? What is your life is the question in James. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Have you ever taken stock of your life and asked God to take stock of your life? Look at the life you are living now and the life you have now. Have you ever done that? You ever done it honestly and let God take a look at your life? His wrong decisions are about to get right because this kid says, you know what? When he says he came to himself, it's like he woke up. He was wide awake. He was functional. He was biologically living. But all of a sudden he stopped. He looked around. He goes, what in the world did I do to myself? Whoa, look at this. And what does he think of the first thing? Those friends who went by, saw him out there in the hog pen eating pig food going, hey, isn't that Joe? Let's go do lunch. Not those guys. He doesn't think I will arise and go to my friends. He didn't say I'll arise and go to my finances. He didn't have any. He said, I will arise and go to my father. When he comes to himself, his decision is quite simple. I need to get to my father and get this thing straightened out. That's where you turn wrong decisions into right decisions. And when he comes to himself, he's all alone, him and the pigs. Can't blame the pigs. Can't blame the farmer. It's just him. And he goes, you know what? I got here. I took the path that led to this pig pen. And I'm gonna go see my dad and make this thing right. I'm going to go to my father. You want to turn wrong decisions into right decisions, you better get to the father. Yeah, no, I don't mean go call your dad up and ask him how come he didn't, you know, play with you in the backyard when you had baseball and all that kind of. I mean, go to your father. You need to get to your father. You need to realize after all this other stuff, all my wrong decisions have been about me, and now it's going to be I'm going to get to my father. Good news, he's waiting for you. Oh, he's waiting for you. He wants you to come. Oh, he hasn't given up on you, as you will see in this parable. He's still waiting for you. You need to rise and go to your father. And then when you turn those wrong decisions into right, here's what you do. You decide, I'm going to do it now. Not someday, not down the road, not one of these days. I'm not going to float around. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to give it time. I'm not going to wait till it's warmer. I'm not going to wait till it's colder. I'm not going to wait for the weather. I'm not going to wait for the economy. I'm not going to wait for the election. I will arise and go to my father. And it says, he stood up and got up and left the hog pen that day. I don't think he even gave good notice. I don't think he went to the farmer and said, you got 2 weeks' notice. He said, that's it for me. I'm out of here. He didn't have anything to collect to leave anyhow. He said, that's it. I'm going to my father. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand your Heavenly Father understands that we make bad choices and wrong decisions? Do you understand your Heavenly Father is waiting for you to come to yourself and turn to him? You need to do that, first of all, in the matter of your salvation. Have you simply trusted Christ to be your Savior, and do you know it? Can you remember a specific time in your life where you trusted Jesus Christ to save you and asked him to do so? If you've never done that before, that's your first decision in getting things right. But wait a minute, for most of us, after we have trusted Christ, we have still made a few wrong choices, a few bad decisions after that. Guess what people do? They keep trying to rearrange the hog pen. Don't waste time. Arise and go to your Father, your God. You know what's amazing about God? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I was reading this parable one day, and I've always envisioned in my mind the Father, as it says here, when he was yet a great way off. The Bible says his Father saw him. You know what that means? That means the Father was looking every day for his son to come back. Months, maybe years went by, but his Father never gave up on him. But then I was reading it one day, and it kind of stood out to me. As he's heading home, this prodigal, pig slop all over him, no shoes on his feet, rat and rags that he's been wearing. He looks up and here comes the Father running to him. He saw the far country. He saw the inheritance. He saw the far country. He saw the friends that you could buy. He saw all the stuff that he wanted. He saw all of that. Now, with nothing left, what does he see? He sees his father running to him. And I envision the dad every day getting up and looking on the horizon for the footfall of his son to come and leave that far country and come back home. And he did. And that's where your Heavenly Father is this morning. He is looking on the horizon for you to turn this thing around and come back to him. The father didn't go to the hog pen. The son had to leave the hog pen. But when he did, and when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him coming. And he breaks for the horizon and he runs to his son. But there's the son staggering, no doubt, got bites all over him and rotten rags on his body, bare feet walking on rocky roads, and he looks up and there's the father coming to him, no doubt shocked and amazed. And it isn't that the dad is coming. The Bible said the father is running to his son. I said in this parable, that father is the God of heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know that's where he is today? He is running to you if you'll just turn. Incredible. He knew where he should be, and he goes clearly to the father, and the father sees him. Yeah, it's a tough story with this kid in the hog pen. Thank God it doesn't end up like that. Here's how it ends. He comes home. The father runs up to him and says, "Son, you idiot, I told you not to do this. Son, you know, don't you see what you've done? Look at the way you're living your life. Look at what you are today." He falls on that boy's neck and he kisses that old crusty, filthy neck. And he turns to his servants and says, "You get a robe and put a robe on his back. You get a ring, put that ring of sonship back on his finger. And you get shoes and put them on his feet. And this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he is found." And they began to be merry. And it's a happy ending. You like happy endings? Yeah? You like happy endings where it all turns out good? My parents divorced when I was a year old, and you've heard my testimony. My dad was a preacher, ran off one of the women in the church. For a period of time, I lived in the drunkard's home. Then my grandparents came along and took us out of that house. Right here in this town, as a matter of fact, in the north end of town. Where we had to hide under our beds and all that kind of junk. My grandparents took us in. They were very godly people, wonderful people. I still remember kneeling on a couch in front of a plain glass window out here in what was Central Valley at the time. My brother and I with a little suitcase of whatever we had. And my mother said, "No, boys, Grandpa and Grandma's going to come take you. Live with them now." We didn't even hesitate. We looked out that window waiting for them to come down that dirt road that led up to where our house was. They pulled up. I'll be honest with you, people, and this was not right for this little boy. I don't think I ever said goodbye to my mother. I ran over and jumped in that car. Driving down that dirt road, I didn't even turn around and look back. I just turned to my brother and I said, "Can you believe it, bud? We get to go live with them now." See why I love happy endings? We lived with my grandparents for several years. Occasionally I would have a dream. And in this dream I'd wake up and I'd hear voices in their living room at my grandparents' house. And I'd go in there and I'd see them, my mom and my dad, standing together, crying and hugging on each other and saying, "Son, we're going to get back together and we're going to put our lives together and you're going to come live with us." And I would wake up. And it was just the quiet of the night. And I thought, oh, just another dream. I can't tell you how many times I had that dream as a kid. I never saw my mom and dad stand in the same place next to each other until the day my wife and I got married. Not everything turns out to a happy ending. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God can take wrong decisions and wrong choices, whether they're ours or others that impact our lives. And it can turn out for right. You get to God. Hear me? You get to God. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.